Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Nugebauer, here with my co-host, Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Manor. Thank you for joining us for another season. Tiffany, can you tell us what this season is about and why we chose to talk about this hard topic of human trafficking?
Sure. Yeah. So this is going to be a short season focused on human trafficking. We've got a couple of guests joining us, and they have far more expertise, knowledge, you know, even a little teaser, one has some real close personal knowledge of human trafficking. And I think this is going to be really beneficial for the church at large because human trafficking is often referred to as modern day slavery. And it's a little bit mind-boggling how many people across the globe are impacted by human trafficking. There's just a lot more people who are suffering from being trafficked than we might imagine. And so as the church, as people who are loved by God, given his richest gifts and word and sacrament, we receive his love and mercy. And so then we carry his love and mercy out into the world to care for all people. So while many of our listeners might be like me, you know, where I don't have family members or close friends that, you know, have had up close personal interactions with human trafficking, it's really important for us to be aware of it, you know, to kind of know what's meant by it, to educate ourselves so we can spot some of the maybe indicators or signs that we, you know, may want to report to people who are experts and authorities. So to be aware of those things that help prevent human trafficking, but also to provide care for people who are survivors of human trafficking, to share the mercy for them in both body and soul in our communities, because these people are all over the towns and the places where we live, but it's, you know, it's kind of hidden. And so we can partner with organizations to care for them. So this is something, a topic that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has been concerned about. There have, you know, been requests of the Office of National Mission as we partner with various entities and organizations throughout the church to focus on human trafficking, to share stories, share how congregations have responded. And so that's what we're, you know, hoping to do with this podcast season is to, you know, raise some awareness and share some ways that congregations could be thinking or be supportive.
You know, this will come out as you listeners listen to this season in succession or however you choose to do so. But there are a lot of myths surrounding the topic of human trafficking, and we will talk about those with our guests. And if you are a listener who, like me, wasn't very aware of this topic before becoming a little bit more educated about it through reading or going online or these guests that we'll have coming on to share and raise awareness, there may be some preconceived notions when you hear the words human trafficking. So maybe, Tiffany, you and I can just clearly define for our listeners what is meant by human trafficking, as you said, modern day slavery, and how human trafficking could look in various forms.
Sure. So we can get a little more specific, and I'll let you do that stuff. But no, I get to travel around the country a good bit, and, you know, be in places like airports and you know, other hotels, places where there's a lot of travelers and people passing through. And what I've noticed over the past few years is really good communication points with simple language about human trafficking. Things like, you know, you're not free to move about as you wish. Someone is holding your documentation, a passport, you know, driver's license, those things that are needed to get transportation, public transportation, to get housing, to get jobs. So if you're not free to seek employment, if you're not free to travel and move about as you wish, you know, of course, this is assuming that people are legal adults, right? This isn't necessarily I'm not referring to like minors whose parents are still responsible for them. But, you know, as a person, if you're not free to have that freedom of movement or freedom of employment, then that can be a sign that someone is being trafficked. And I'm sure, Steph, you've got more to add to that. But like, so that's been, I've been noticing that lately. And I think that's a simple way to define traffic. Yeah, someone who's caught in human trafficking. I have seen, and the number could be a little bit dated, but the United Nations estimates that over 20 million people are missing due to human trafficking. And they say that there's an estimated $32 billion global profit that continues to grow every day. So, you know, this information may be a few years old. So those numbers could be a lot higher. You know, the U.S. Department of Justice estimates that between 14,000 and 17,000 people are trafficked every year into the United States. So, you know, we're talking some pretty big numbers here. And some of the ways that human trafficking is defined is that the traffickers are using force, fraud, and coercion to lure people into this slavery, this modern day slavery.
Can we share now the human trafficking hotline and then also a website for people to visit for more information? So the human trafficking hotline we'll also share in our show notes, but that number is 888-373-7888, which is operated by Polaris, is an organization who does work in rescuing human trafficking and preventing human trafficking. I read on their website as well that their numbers from 2023, and this is just domestically, so this is just the U.S., is that there were roughly 9,600 cases that were called in to their hotline. A case could be multiple people who are trafficked. And so in 2023 alone, there were almost 17,000 victims who were involved in cases of human trafficking in the U.S. And those are just documented. And they say on their website, this is likely very highly underreported. This hotline is one way that people can report suspected cases of human trafficking. And so now that we've kind of defined the terms of what we mean by human trafficking, maybe we can talk about those who are most at risk or those who are most vulnerable to being victims of human trafficking. On the Polaris website, they identify that the most significant risk factors include recent migration or relocation of families or individuals, substance abuse, mental health concerns, involvement with the child welfare system, and then being a runaway or a homeless youth. And so, Tiffany, knowing these vulnerable populations, how do you think that helps as we're aware of this? How does that help our listeners? How does that help the church to be able to therefore aid, identify, or even care for victims of human trafficking?
Well, once you learn about things like this, your awareness is raised and you're able to be observant in different ways. So I was referencing, in airports, right? There's this essentially an educational campaign to help people who might be passing through there and to recognize themselves if they are being trafficked, but also the general public, what they could spot or look for. And I've had a couple of situations myself where I have been looking at someone and I thought, could this be a situation of human trafficking? And the very first time this happened, it was in an airport situation. It was before, it was several years ago. It was before they had a lot of the things in the bathroom stalls and things in the airports like Polaris has put up now. And I had some, knowledge of human trafficking. And I looked at the situation with several people and I thought, boy, that almost looks like what's been described to me as possible human trafficking. But I second-guessed myself and I didn't say anything to anyone in the airport. And then this group was on the same plane as me. And again, I didn't say anything to flight attendants or anyone because I was hesitant and I wasn't certain if I knew enough. I thought maybe I'm just making an inaccurate guess and kind of felt insecure. Sure enough, our plane lands at the airport And the pilot comes on and he tells us all to stay seated. And police came on and they took off that group of people. And when I was deplaning, and I said something to the flight attendant, I said, is this suspected human trafficking? And she said, well, it's something they need to check out, that it could be. And so since then, I thought, this is why they say, if you see something that resembles this or something that's suspicious, just report it to someone. And so I wish I had been more confident in what I thought I saw. I give thanks to God that someone said something, whether it was the flight attendants or someone else on the plane. And I don't know how this situation ended up. But I'm so thankful that in my uncertainty, there was someone else who was wise enough to share what they were seeing. Now I feel more confident and not like I'm going to hold back. And so another situation that occurred was when I was interacting with an acquaintance, and their young adult relative was in a situation with someone who was supposedly a dear friend. And as this acquaintance of mine was describing it, since I had now felt more confident, I said, "Is there any chance? Do you think that this person, this family member of yours, could possibly be being trafficked? Because it sounds to me like it kind of resembles human trafficking." And again, I don't have to go into the details and tell you how this played out, but it can be really beneficial to understand these risk factors of recent relocation or migration, stuff like you just shared, or substance use or mental health concerns, involvement in the child welfare system, or being a runaway or homeless youth. So being aware of those factors and other things that you can learn from the upcoming episodes and the websites, could be really beneficial. So if you are like me and you are hearing something or watching something and you think, I wonder, then you'll know who to talk to about it and how to refer someone to get some help.
And also, to be clear, human trafficking doesn't always include sex trafficking. There are various components as well. So sexual exploitation could be a component along with forced labor or work. They could, coexist, but it doesn't always involve sexual exploitation, nor does it always involve forced labor or, forced slavery to perform acts of labor. And Polaris makes a point to differentiate in the minds of people visiting their website in regards to prostitution versus sex trafficking, and then human smuggling versus human trafficking, in the sense that force, fraud, and coercion, as well as the act, means, and purpose of trafficking, are all components that define human trafficking and differentiate it from, say, prostitution or smuggling of other humans. I think that's helpful as our listeners tune into this season so that, with open ears and open minds, we seek to understand truly what this could look like and then how to best care for these situations as a church and then really as a human civil society.
Yeah, the word trafficking, so many people just kind of associate that, as you were bringing up, sex trafficking or prostitution, but there have been cases of trafficking that are related to organ removal or, a forced organ donation, say something like kidneys, or somebody has two of them, they make them give one. Or even in abortion, people can be trafficked and be forced into an abortion. So trafficking can take on many more shades than just sex trafficking. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yep. So Tiffany, as we wrap up our time together, what do you hope? I know I have hopes for this season, but what do you hope our listeners will get out of this season?
Oh, as I was relating that, those couple of stories where I thought that I, that people I observed or heard about could be trafficked, I hope people's awareness is raised and that they can come to understand what resources are out there But another hope I have is that Christians would come to understand that the intervention in trafficking is something that is really best left to authorities such as the police or the FBI. It's not the church's role in our society to intervene into a trafficking situation, because that can be very, very dangerous. I relayed how much money is on the line here. And professional traffickers are oftentimes quite protective and, dare I even say, violent about the people they are trafficking. And so as I was relaying my situations, you know, the thing to do would be to ask someone and call, you know, a helpline or a hotline, not get involved yourself. And that's not something our congregations would be advised to do. But that instead, as Christians, as the body of Christ, we understand the vocation God's given us is to care for our neighbor. And so that's what we can do through our congregations, partnering with various entities in our local communities. And so someone, you know, a member of a congregation or say a committee or a board wants to do something in their community to respond to human trafficking, it's not intervention, it's a response that's born out of mercy and care. So instead, they could reach out to local authorities and say, how is it that people who come out of trafficking are supported in our community? Is there a group home? Is there training for job skills that they get? Do they need food, clothing, shelter? Those are the ways that the church can be responsive, is to help the survivors of human trafficking to be able to find their new place in our society, in our community, and share love and God's mercy in very special ways that the church can do. And, you know, relationally welcoming these people into our churches and our homes to help them to have friends and companions as they are remaking their lives after they come out of trafficking. Well, there are so many examples throughout the New Testament of Christ seeing people and being moved in compassion towards them and his love. And so, you know, we can look at the Gospels, you know, where Jesus is seeing someone and having compassion for them and wanting to provide healing and love. And so that is the compassion that the church has to share Christ's very mercy and love given to us every Sunday, over and over and over again in God's word and in his sacrament, that then spills out from us to other people.
Thank you, Tiffany. Just as a reminder, we will be pointing to resources linked in our show notes for this episode and also the subsequent episodes to follow. The National Hotline included, and also Polaris, which if you search for it in your search engine, is PolarisProject.org, not to be confused with Polaris as the snowmobile manufacturers, which is the first thing that will pop up. But it's Polaris Project, and we'll link that in our show notes. And then the LCMS also has a landing page. We'll link in our show notes for more information about this on our social issues page, and then how congregations can be a part of the mercy work of caring for victims of human trafficking. Tiffany, thanks so much for being my trusty co-host today.
It's always a delight to be on Friends for Life with you, Steph.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review. And don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people he has called you to serve, right where you are in God's mission.